And she said, can I read it in the message? And he says, no. Every time. Every time.
Who says this?
The Sunday school teacher. He's like, doesn't count. Like, you can call that a commentary, a stupid commentary if you want to, but you cannot call it a translation of the Bible. Somebody's going to be mad at me. If that's going to be included, I know it is. Are we recording right now?
Of course. Welcome to Products of Grace, a podcast by Mercy Hill Church. My name is Don Terrell, and with me today I have Lawson Harlow and
Lawson Harlow.
Just the two of us.
Stop it.
What's the lyrics? We can make it if we try, I think.
Yeah, maybe I'm not.
We're
going
to give it a good heave-ho today, my friend. Because today. So, Don, what are we doing today? Well, Don, today.
this is the episode. What's happening right now is the ping pong episode, which no one should listen to.
Yeah.
Unless you just want to hear me beat Julie at ping pong.
Oof. Julie. All right. So today, I actually got a text. I think this all ties in. So I got a text today from a childhood friend. And when I say like childhood friend, I've probably not seen him since, I don't know, dude. And I don't want to be wrong about this, but in my mind, it seems like maybe 10th, 11th grade. I don't know. Well, long time. And sends me a text today out of the blue. He's like, hey, I got your number from my dad, from your dad, and I found you.
Wow.
By the way, I love listening to the podcast, and I'm in like episode 6. And I love every moment of it. He said, it seems like you guys are in a really like authentic community church. Y'all love the word. He said, every episode, I'm laughing, I'm learning, and I'm being edified. And so here recently, Andrew Neal said to Lawson, Andrew being Andrew Neal, PhD.
Yeah,
he'll
true.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, he will appreciate that.
And so he said to Lawson, yeah, used to listen for... like to learn, like I was learning things, and now I just tune in to hear Don get really excited. So Lawson told me, he said, I hope he still learns things. Like, I hope we're still providing substance that people are edified with. So I was happy to receive that.
But that was in the first 6 episodes.
Yeah. And so now so my childhood friend, this really adds credibility to our podcast. Okay. You know what he does for a living?
What?
He's a pediatric dentist. All of a sudden, your whole worldview just changed on this whole compliment, didn't it?
No.
Because that's how we work. It's like, oh my gosh, a pediatric dentist is listening to us. So I thought, and I texted him, I was like, hey, I'm going to use this as a joke on the podcast, because do y'all remember how like back in the day, dentists, and they still do it now, this product is recommended by 4 out of 5 dentists?
Oh my goodness.
Y'all, we're 1 for 1. Products of Grace recommended by 1 out of 1 pediatric dentists.
What's funny is we've had 3 dentists.
Charles is like, you know, he's like,
we've had 3 dentists a part of this congregation. If they would like to listen in and to give a recommend, that'd be great. Then you could have 4.
Yes.
Yep.
We should build out our recommendation pool strictly for dentists.
Oh my goodness. We should.
We need to go. But I don't like 4 out of 5 because it's almost like that 1-star rating that we have on Apple. It's like, I don't want that. All right. So today.
We can probably find a 5th. It'll be 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
We can do it.
And then like.
And if there's a 6th that says no, we just won't include it.
Like do artwork.
Yeah.
Like that'd be part of our flair. That's the word I'm looking for.
I like it. We can do a shirt that says recommended it from 4 out of 5.
Yes, you totally steal my idea. I want to say on the back of the next t-shirt, I either want to do jokes fresh and money stacked, just in air quotes, or 1 out of 1 pediatric dentist recommend this podcast. It's so funny. All right, so today, here's the plan. We're going to do a 3-part series titled ATF, which stands for alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
Wait, so which one is this going in?
Yeah, so Julie asked me, she's like, what do you mean? Like this episode?
Yeah.
She's like, why aren't you starting with A? And I go, I don't know, I don't want to. I want to do T. So today
so
is
we're doing
ATF.
TAF?
Yeah, but we're going to stick with the Bureau The whole idea is the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
Okay.
I actually have a link. I looked up their link to the Bureau. It's really fascinating what they do. Have you ever looked at this?
No.
ATF's responsibilities include the investigation and prevention of federal offenses involving the unlawful use, manufacture, and possession of firearms and explosives. Acts of arson and bombings and illegal trafficking of alcohol and tobacco products, the ATF also regulates via licensing the sale, possession, and transportation of firearms, ammunition, and explosives in interstate commerce. Furthermore, many of ATF's activities are carried out in conjunction with the task forces made up of state and local law enforcement officers, such as Project Safe Neighborhoods. ATF operates a unique fire research laboratory in Beltsville, Maryland, where full-scale mock-ups of criminal arson can be reconstructed. That sounds like an awesome place to work.
Burn it down?
Yeah. And then figure out how it got burned.
How did that burn down?
That's a mystery fire.
Let's light that on fire and look again.
Yep. All right, so...
And by the way, if anybody was looking for a used car salesman, Don is available.
Julie always gets mad at Darren for the meme.
The car meme?
The car meme. She says, "You are not that fat."
The guy who hits the thing?
Yeah, I think it's the guy who's standing like listening her mind is me. And he's kind of a rotund fellow.
Rotund.
Yeah.
All right.
She says, "You're not that rotund." Wow. I was like, "Oh, thanks, babe."
Yeah. That's a compliment, sure.
Sure. So this was all birthed, this idea was for a couple of different threads through past episodes.
Mm-hmm.
One was water to wine,
mm-hmm.
which was how teaching inaccuracy here can cause distrust in the teacher in other areas.
Mm, true.
Like what binds obedience is love, not law. Mm. So we'll cover that in a future episode. Number two. So that's alcohol. Number two is firearms. Are we pacifists? When to draw or flee? Is it wrong to draw? Is it wrong not to own a sword, i.e. gun? Question mark. And then three, I'll tell you where this comes from. But before that, Charles is in the room. So with that, gentlemen, let the devil be damned. And the devil's in the details. So the devil here is a metaphor for an unpleasant consequence or ending derived from the belief that going to hell in the afterlife leaves you in the hands of the devil. So if you say the devil be damned, you mean I don't care about the devil.
Bulls and goats and bulls. Yes. I can't even say it right. I can't mess it up now. Boats and goats.
Hold on, let me rephrase. I don't care about the devil. So what this means is I don't care about the devil. I'm going to do what I want.
Because the devil is what you're afraid of in hell. If you misunderstand.
It's like it's like if he's the threat.
If he's the threat.
Yeah, and of course
bad news. He's not the threat. Wah, you wah. Wish he was the threat.
All right. So the devil in the details is an idiom alluding to a catch or mysterious element hidden in the details. Something might seem simple at a first look, but will take more time and effort to complete than expected. Okay.
Like literally my whole life.
Is the devil's in the details.
Yeah, it's like, I look at things, I'm like, oh, I've got this. I sit down and finally do it, and it's like, oh, I need like 17 more hours of this.
All right, so ATF, tobacco. So I shared the gospel this week. Well, during the week that we're recording this episode, or last week.
Yeah, come on, Don.
In the past, in the most recent past.
We're a professional outfit.
And I ended the conversation with, how many cigarettes do you smoke a day? Because I was genuinely interested. Like, I don't know why that is. And I thought to myself, that's so weird. Cause like, how often have I heard those things will kill you? Like you need to quit.
Yeah.
You know, like from good moral people, like, hey man, those things will kill you. You need to stop smoking that. Like I've always heard that. So I thought to myself, is quitting a fruit of the spirit? Question mark. So, I mean, this is an interesting thought, don't you think?
About smoking?
Yeah, about smoking. So my kids, we're eating ice cream. All right, so Julie was... Where were you, babe? Playing tennis? Playing tennis. She's getting ready for you.
I'm not concerned.
So she was out playing tennis, and me and the kids went to eat.
Naturally.
Yeah, and we're eating ice cream afterwards.
Where?
At Area 51 Hernando, shout out. They had Nutella.
Lemon Icebox. Oh, I'm not a fan.
Nutella with peanut butter ripple, and I got a scoop of that and a scoop of cookies and cream. And I was watching this whole family come in, sidebar, whole family's coming in. And I'm like, they all order. And I'm like, what weirdos come into Area 51 and get one scoop?
Oh.
Like, I was thinking that. I was like, what an abomination.
My wife.
What an abomination.
My wife does that.
Well, I look over at Bailey. Yeah.
He's got one
with
scoop.
His one scoop. And I was like, I can't even say anything. This guy's in my immediate family.
You belong to me?
Yeah. I was like, why are you when the way that you are?
When I go in, I get two scoops of lemon icebox and I get a pint to go.
Yum.
Every time.
Well, I have to go. Well, I mean, I'm going in with consequences.
Okay.
So I'm going to eat a full two scoops.
You're just going to go ahead, and if we're going to have consequences, let's have them.
Yeah, me and milk. I mean, as you age, lactose normally doesn't do well.
Yeah.
So anyways, so my daughter says, hey, we're just kind of small talking. She's like, did you know so-and-so has smoked marijuana before? It's like somebody's parent.
Oh, my goodness.
And of course, what does she ask me?
Is it wrong?
No, she asked me.
Have you?
Ooh. And I've always said, like, I'm always going to be honest. I'm not going to hold back. You asked me about Santa Claus, earmuffs, kids. I'm going to be truthful. And so I was
earmuffs,
like,
earmuffs, kids. I just saw every kid that's listening go like,
put it up and take it down.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah. And she goes, Dad. And I was like, you know, I tried to give my perspective around, like, personal experience, you know? Like, I was like, yes, I was a believer. And so the question I think that we often ask is, can the believer do this?
The answer is always yes.
Well, that's a bad question.
It's a terrible question.
It's the dumbest question. It's like, should.
Yeah.
Right? Is it fruitful?
Yeah.
Is it beneficial? And what do you always say, like, your new measuring stick is?
Is it godly?
Is it godly?
Yeah.
And I'm like, so, but I fell back into that, like, normal, like, position of arguing for something is, like, I'm going to give you a personal account.
Yeah.
And I just think sometimes, like, that's not sufficient.
It's not a strong argument.
Yeah, it's not. It's like, well, I always felt guilty because I remember when I was,
I remember you telling me you avoided the mirror.
Yes, and I told her that. Yeah. I was like, I always, like, that self-reflection of the mirror, like, I knew it was wrong, you know, so I didn't want to see it. So anyways, we kind of went through a whole litany of a conversation around, my son said, he goes, well, you know, I've heard other people say that they could smoke a blunt to the glory of God. And I was like, ugh, no, hard no.
Hard no.
And he was like, well, I mean, I go, well, you have a legal problem. And what did he say?
Only in some places.
Yeah. He's like, what if it's legal? So I'm like the whole thing, this whole week was like, before he left to go back to school, I was like, I'm gonna
build a case.
Yep, I'm gonna build a case. And I'm gonna circle back with him. Yep. So part of this is, what is that? Two birds, one stone.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, your arguments against drunkenness should be pretty similar to your arguments against marijuana use.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So, by the way, the guy that I was
sharing the gospel with,
was an atheist.
Yeah,
and he asked. He said, yeah, I just don't believe I don't believe there's a God. And I was like, after we got done talking, I was like, you know, the question you need to wrestle with is not if there is a God, but who is he?
Mm.
And I think, like, understanding who God is, like, should inform our obedience, which should flow out of in ethics or in our behavior, in our fruit. So,
you're nicer than me.
Why?
Because I wouldn't have given that question. I would probably have been like, no, you know, there's a God.
Well, what the interesting thing was, like, he believed there was good and bad.
Oh, you can't.
And so it's like, whoa. Like, who normally gives laws? And he was like, well, policemen. And I'm like, okay, so you're saying there is a moral law.
Where's their law come from?
It's like, in every other case, like, you're telling me all other laws.
There's an authority.
There's a minister.
Yep.
Yeah. And so it's like, in this case, like, I think you're in an issue. Like, if you uphold a moral law, knowing right from wrong, then
you've stolen from the worldview. You have to. You don't have a choice. You're living inside of God's world,
right?
And so, like, as you're going to steal from the worldview, you can't live without it. Anyway,
all right. So, capitalism has a morality issue.
Okay,
because not everything that capitalism sells you, it functions in whether it's immoral or moral. So just because it's for sale
Doesn't mean it's good.
Doesn't mean it's good.
Oh, sure.
And even if it's lawful and approved by all sorts of, you know, federal agencies, the FDA, it's like,
yeah,
doesn't mean that it's good.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about this verse, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable.
Yeah.
And so can you, as you live life, know something was lawful, not be breaking a moral law or even a human law, and yet in the end see the fruit of that decision and know it was rotten?
Yeah.
And be like in total shame and needing to repent before, yes, God and
most certainly.
at times, sinning against men, right?
Yeah.
I mean, working that out in repentance both,
yeah,
what do we say, vertically and horizontally.
Yeah.
Hold on. All right, so vaping. This is a fantastic case study.
It's a really interesting one because it's so new.
It is. So the original founder of Juul says every startup has a mission. Huh. And their startup was to end combustible cigarettes. Did you
like
know
just
this?
Just things that you light on fire?
No. Combustible cigarettes mean like you put a flame to it,
yeah,
to smoke a cigarette.
Things you light on fire.
Yeah, but not things, cigarettes.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, I'm saying like the combustible form,
yes,
is the kind you light on fire.
Yeah, so their, yes, whole idea was, right, it seemed to be originally moral or good because they wanted to eradicate
with a healthier product. Was that their,
yes,
plan? Oh, wow, he messed,
yes,
that one up pretty bad.
Or, so this is what he says. This is a presupposition.
I figured his purpose was to get rich. I mean, I'm sorry.
Normally, like, I mean, don't you think, like, normally over time, like, the fruit bears what the original,
yeah,
intent was?
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
So he says, every startup has a mission. It was either to them to end combustible cigarettes, or later was growth for venture capital sake, which is grow and grow for growth's sake. Like no conscience.
No.
Just accumulate.
It's sin stocks.
Money.
Yeah.
Okay. So he says, like, in the interview that he doesn't know, like, he's still confused in hindsight about what their purpose was.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what their true mission was.
Weird. Nobody else is.
Yeah.
Nobody else is confused.
Because, well, why are you saying that? Like, why?
Because your purpose was to make money. Your purpose was to make money. Nobody starts a company for almost any other reason than to make money. You,
right,
can pretend like it can be, like, Bombas socks. We're going to give socks to people. Okay. You're there to make money. Like, I mean, Tom's, you're there to make money. Like, you can be doing things along the side, but you're there to make money. I mean, I don't, there's not a problem with that. Like, there's nothing wrong with you saying, I want to.
Well, what you're doing is, like, I think you're proving out, like, my presupposition is most companies within a functioning capitalist society is amoral. The company's amoral.
Yeah, most.
Like,
I think most is super fair, yeah.
Neutrality, saying, yeah, what we do is not judged to be moral or immoral.
Yeah.
It's actually amoral because our only goal is money.
Is to grow.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, so it's a moral and ethical dilemma, which is solved by examining its fruit, which then can answer the original question, like, why did it get started? Like, why vape? So the whole thing was a conflicted smoker. Like, they targeted the conflicted smoker who smoked, but it was like a monkey on their back. They wanted to get rid,
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, but they didn't want to get rid of it.
But they were addicted.
Yeah, yeah,
you,
yeah,
know, and so, like, they were trying to help them, like, another alternative, you know, not, like, nicotine gum or,
yeah,
nicotine patches. Like, this was the vaping. But it you know, what they end up doing is they get all, I mean, you know the story of vaping, like, it ends up going everywhere. Like,
oh,
it's,
yeah,
it's everywhere.
Yeah, I remember, what was the, and then they realized the health, I mean, it's just,
yeah, they didn't,
horribly,
like, prove out.
It's worse.
Yeah.
It's worse.
Yeah. I don't know if it's worse. I don't have, like.
No, what was the, there was something happening with people's lungs.
Oh,
was,
yeah, they were getting pneumonia.
From,
like,
no,
they
but
were,
there was a particular effect that vaping had on the lungs that was distinct from smoking cigarettes.
Producer, do you know this?
No, I want to say it was something like, is that it? He said they would collapse. I'm not sure, but
it made people really sick.
Really,
like, they
sick.
They started
really
showing
sick, yeah,
progressive photos,
oh, yeah,
of people who vape, and you could see the toxicity, like,
yeah,
in their skin. It would manifest. But where this all went wrong is, the marketing plan all of a sudden shifted. And it went from targeting the conflicted smoker to teens.
Yeah, of course. That's where you always go. That's where cigarettes went. It's like the whole thing. Get them addicted young.
Yep. And they had all of these flavors, and they actually came into schools. Their marketing plan was actually came into schools, and they would run health seminars. They would be the representative from Juul, come into local
high schools,
do the whole health thing, talk about how bad cigarettes were, but then offer an alternative. And the alternative was marketing to a new demographic that was totally against smoking, but found great intrigue, temptation, or whatever, to pick up and vape. So they get it all in the stores. They get it all in the SKUs. They do mental health seminars in schools. And the guy says, that's being interviewed, he said, I don't know if we were just dumb or evil.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Why do you think he says that?
Because he sees the lasting effect of it. He's dealing with detrimental harm to young people.
Right.
Yeah, he's assaulting their bodies. Yeah.
Yes, and now he's seeing the fruit. So later in the storyline of Juul, they're raided by the FDA.
Raided?
Raided.
I remember this. This wasn't too long ago, right?
It wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a couple years ago. Yeah. They were raided by the FDA. Why do you think they were raided by the FDA?
Because they were creating toxic chemicals to give to students.
Right, and passing them off as safe.
Yeah.
So North Carolina brought a lawsuit recently against Juul and actually won for all sorts of reasons.
Who did?
The state of North Carolina.
Wow.
The Attorney General.
Yeah.
And were awarded all sorts of, you know, monies and compensation. Yeah. But in the end, what's so funny is, do you know who bought Juul?
No.
Big Tobacco.
Makes sense.
It does make sense.
Makes perfect sense.
It totally makes sense.
Tobacco's like, well, I can just grab it and make a ton of money off that, which lost me a ton of money.
Yeah, so in 20...
And they know how to navigate it. They know how to navigate the legislation to be able to effectively continue to distribute it.
Yep.
Interesting.
Because Big Tobacco was sued back in the 90s, class action lawsuit,
won
big time. Yep. I was in banking at the time, and I remember hearing about class action settlements being deposited on the bank's balance sheet because that money's got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And talking about, like, you know, growing the bank's balance sheet by 25-30% with like single deposits because states were winning and there was so much class action. So anyways, in 2020, the CDC says that 3.6 million children are using e-cigarettes.
I remember this data coming out.
That's crazy, dude.
Doesn't surprise me at all. I wish it surprised me, but it doesn't.
All right, so here's my connection point. A question I was posed about marijuana being legal, but using the vaping industry as an example of all things are lawful, but not all are profitable.
Yeah.
So like, what's the fruit of vaping? Why was the industry sued? It appeared noble and harmless, but yet it bore fruit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Bad fruit.
So how do you judge fruit? Like, for the believer, like, if you get into something, like, you're doing something obediently to whatever that action is, like, how do you judge the fruit? Like, why do we call it bad fruit? Like, what would be...
Well, this one is actively destroying your own body.
Right.
I mean, now, here's...
But can you effectively... I mean, I guess that's where I'm at in an ethical dilemma is, like, I mean, you could really apply that to fried foods.
You could and you should. But, I mean, there's a difference, though.
Okay.
The difference is, like, me eating... Chick-fil-A is not equivalent to me smoking a Juul or whatever else it may be, smoking cigarettes. Like, it's just not equivalent.
Right.
For instance, like, my body actually needs fuel. There's nothing innately wrong with me eating a Chick-fil-A sandwich, especially considering how small they've gotten. Mm.
I went back and listened to that episode just to get to that line. Yesterday I did. I laughed all over again. Because you were so funny. You were so blown away. You were like...
Bro. So the other day I was in class and they were talking about Chick-fil-A, like when I logged in to Zoom and I said, y'all, I gotta tell y'all something. I really
wrecked your worldview.
I don't know if y'all know this or not, but Chick-fil-A sandwiches are like a quarter of the size they once were. And every single one of them were like, what? And they all instantly know.
Yeah.
It's like
you've seen it over and over.
It's like
but
when
it was
Julie pointed out literally to me and it's like, I can't,
I don't know what to do with this word anymore. But like, I find this to be funny because in past episodes, Julie said, y'all need to stop picking on Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're a Christian company.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I mean, I get that they're a Christian
company.
But then you do have,
so hold on, let's go back. Let's back up. So me eating a Chick-fil-A sandwich is not equivalent to me smoking a e-cigarette or smoking a cigarette. They're not equivalent.
Okay.
One is not innately going to do harm. Right? It's only in its absurd abuse do you get to the point where it's doing innate harm.
Right.
Right? Like, I've got to eat Chick-fil-A 3 times a day for my entire life to do real damage.
Right.
And not only that, the damage requires me to ultimately become obese in what I'm eating, to do myself that level of harm.
Yeah.
And
abuse the object.
Abuse the object, right? There are some objects that the moment you pick it up, it's abuse.
It's abuse.
Instantly.
Yeah.
And so like I can eat Chick-fil-A. I can eat really almost whatever I want and it not be instant abuse.
Right.
But there are some things that you put in your body the moment they go in, it's abuse.
Yeah. So let me ask you this way. I thought of the other verse. Where Paul says, I will be mastered by nothing.
By nothing. Such an
and
important verse.
And he says, like, he builds this economy.
Yeah.
And he says, food is for the body.
Yep.
But you know what the body's for?
For the Lord.
For the Lord.
That's right.
So this is all
about...
God will destroy them both, right? Yes. But it's like, I will be mastered by nothing. I will not have food even control me, right? I will control the food because I have lordship over the food because you know who has lordship over me? Christ.
Yep, absolutely.
And so I think there's like an ethical economy that operates under obedience, under lordship of Christ that influences our choices of food, quantity of food, and the amount of food. But I totally agree with you. When you look to like nicotine, whether that's in combustible form or vape form, like I don't see a world
there's no benefit.
Yeah. So I guess for me, like when you're sharing the gospel with somebody and you're looking for common ground, like I was really curious about the type of cigarette that he smoked.
Yeah.
And I felt like there was nothing wrong in me asking him that. But I mean, I think I've been around people that are like, and oh, by the way, you need to quit those because they're going to kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know. I didn't feel like that was appropriate.
Moment.
Yeah, that's not appropriate. Like, so is quitting, quote unquote, air quotes, like that was what I was thinking. If this individual became a believer, repented and believed, like at what point? Like, is there a point?
Yeah, it's such an interesting one.
It
really is. Because you think back.
And you didn't want to have this conversation.
No, I think there's a difference between, for clarity, I think there's a difference between smoking a cigar.
Okay.
I'm going to make a distinction.
All right.
And smoking cigarettes.
Like
and
chain e-cigarettes. Smoking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, also, yeah, so I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay.
I do think conscience issues are going to come in, especially in regard to cigar, for instance. But the instant you begin to chain smoke, for instance, it's a normative everyday thing where you are inhaling and you're essentially poisoning yourself.
Mm-hmm.
My first science fair project was on smoking, by the way.
Huh.
Fun fact.
What'd you do? Like have it through something?
Yeah, so my dad, and this is actually the first science experiment that every single one of my dad's kids did. And it was...
Oh, I thought you were like, dude, I smoked a pack of cigarettes and I threw up.
It was
he took pictures.
It was the first. It was, you made this machine, with a Coke bottle.
You create like a vortex.
And cotton swabs and a cigarette.
Huh.
And what it does is it smokes the cigarette. And as it smokes the cigarette, it filters through the cotton ball.
Okay.
And the cotton ball's black by the first cigarette.
Oof.
It's disgusting.
Whoa.
Which his whole purpose was, this is what this does to your... Like, I know what he was doing.
Yeah.
He was saying, don't do this. Right. And
he was making a moral argument.
He was making a moral argument from his own life experience of growing up with people who
smoked
endlessly.
Yeah.
Right. And so going back to... the distinction between a cigar and a cigarette is—it's like a cigar is not meant to be like smoked, put it down, pick it up the next. Like it's not meant to be something that you do.
But some people use them.
Some people certainly do. But I'm saying like the purpose of a cigarette is how fast can I get this in me and pick up another one? Like they're made.
Yeah, it's a means of ingesting.
Yeah.
An addictive substance because that's what's driving you back to it.
Absolutely. And so anyway,
all right. Sidebar. One quick question for you. What biblical scholars that you know that either smoked a cigar, pipe,
A lot of them.
A lot of them?
Yeah, I mean, Charles Spurgeon's famous quote is, "Tonight I intend to go home and smoke a cigar to the glory of God."
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, I mean, you're going back. I mean, you have to also understand the distinction in medicine. They used to prescribe smoking a cigar.
Yeah, but it's also funny because this is where big tobacco got in trouble.
Yeah.
Because remember, all things tie together.
Yeah.
They had doctors
say this is good for
five
you.
5 out of 5 doctors recommend menthol cigarettes for the health of your lungs. I mean, it's so laughable.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so I wonder, like, did Spurgeon know, like, the health ramifications, right? Was there enough evidence?
But what's really interesting is cigars to this day, smoking moderate amounts of cigars does not have a link, according to the stuff that I've read, does not have a link to an increase in heart and lung cancer.
Okay.
Now but it's speaking specifically of an uninhaled cigar, which most people who smoke cigars do not inhale.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What would you want for Rowan?
I don't touch any of it.
Why?
Because
a cigar, because I want to make this, because I think you're
the cigar
speaking
at base level, because she's a girl. Just to be honest with you,
he's such a sexist.
I mean, there's something weird about that, and everybody knows it. But the other thing is, like, I don't really want her to participate in anything that that's going to, or has the, I mean, this is my parentness, I guess, that has the possibility of causing her harm. But at the same time, there are, I think, substances that are good and they're gifts from God as long as they're used in accordance with God's rule, which matters.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, like, I want her to enjoy Chick-fil-A.
All right.
So I don't want her to abuse Chick-fil-A.
Let's jump on the comment that Julie said, y'all need to leave Chick-fil-A alone because that's a Christian company.
Yeah, sure.
Like, is there such a thing?
At what point I would have said yes, but not so much anymore. But I think, you know, our producer and I were having a conversation earlier about Hobby Lobby.
Right.
And I think the company in and of itself cannot by necessity be Christian, but the people can most certainly be.
Right.
Which means that they conduct themselves as Christians.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the goal of the company is to make money. And I think all companies, by and large, if they operate within a capitalistic society or economy, are amoral.
Yeah.
Like, only the people that guide the company have a conscience to whether they do something immoral or moral,
yeah, absolutely,
to earn a dollar. And so the guy,
an entity is an entity.
Yeah. So this guy, after the interview, you know what he does now?
What?
He resigned and became a social worker.
Wow.
And he said, I did so to become a youth social worker.
To prevent them from doing silly things.
To minister, his words, to this population.
Yeah.
But you know what he's paying? That's penance, bro.
Yeah, 100% it is.
That's all that is. Because you know what affords him?
What he broke.
You know what affords him?
The ability to do that?
Yeah.
Is all the money he made from Jewel?
Yes. Yeah.
I can do what I want now because I'm rich.
All right, so I'm going to define amorality. So amorality differs from immorality in that the latter is a violation of a moral code, whereas the former is merely a disinterest in it. An amoral person doesn't care whether lying is right or wrong. He cares only about whether there will be consequences for him. An immoral person knows lying is wrong, but lies anyway. Many people may appear to be amoral when in fact they are immoral, since the requirements of the law are written on their hearts. Romans 2:15. Yep. So what do you think Paul means by all things are lawful?
Yeah, what he doesn't mean is you can do whatever you want.
You know what I always add to this?
What?
All things are lawful that are lawful.
Yeah, I that's really where I am on it.
Okay.
Because it certainly
doesn't.
You and
I have never talked about this.
Yeah. I have a lot of conversations about this very statement, because there are some people that think that verse means
carte blanche.
I can do whatever I want.
Yep.
And I do not think in any stretch of the imagination is it that. If that was the case, there's a whole lot that Paul wrote that we just need to burn. Like, it just has
lots
it has no meaning. You know, it's like, it's irrelevant. Just throw it away.
So what law is he talking about? Is that the law of the conscience? Is that the law? Is that the moral law that's written on the heart? Like, we can do all of those things, or does it move beyond that?
Ask the original
question.
What
do you think he means by all things are lawful? If you and I agree to say all things are lawful that are lawful, what law are we saying that all things are lawful according to the law? Like, what law are we saying? Are we saying the moral law?
I would say that the moral law at bare minimum, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but But I think obviously you take the moral law and you understand it from Jesus' interpretation in the Sermon on the Mount.
Okay.
I think you do have
which is
the Sermon on the Mount.
No, his interpretation of the law, which is, you said you can take Jesus' interpretation.
There's a deeper meaning. Like, thou shalt not murder does not mean that you don't stab your brother in the throat.
Right.
It means you don't hate him. Right. It goes deeper than those things. And so, like, when we deal with all things are lawful, it certainly doesn't mean that it is lawful for me to murder. It doesn't mean that it's lawful for me to commit adultery. It doesn't mean it's lawful for me to lust.
Right.
But I think there are other areas, and I think Paul's dealing with the freedom that he has in Christ there to say all things are lawful, but how am I to assess the things that are not directly dealt with via law? Like it may be lawful, but it doesn't mean it's profitable.
Mm.
And if it's not profitable, I don't need to do it. And then he also goes even further past that and says, I can't be mastered by anything. You know, one of the reasons that I did intermittent fasting for a long time mm-hmm. was because I felt like I was being ruled by food. Because, there was nothing, it wasn't like I was making terrible, terrible food decisions. Mm-hmm. It was just like, I feel like I was always thinking about what I'm eating next. Mm. And it was like, that's not helpful. Like, I'm being mastered by something that is a good gift, but I cannot be mastered by it. Mm. That's not profitable. Mm. And so, like, I just, the lawful aspect there is an entry. Where are you on that? I mean, you asked me the question.
So, my thought is, like, capitalism and marijuana markets, like, it markets to you and doesn't care about you. Like, even though it's lawful. You know what I'm saying?
Even though it's legally permissible.
Mm-hmm. Which might inform your personal conscience to say, well, it's legal.
Oh, okay.
And I'm talking about even recreationally legal.
Yeah.
Like, that's really where I want to camp the rest of the conversation out.
Yeah, I think if we're going to have a conversation about marijuana, I think we have to do it from a recreational standpoint.
Yes. So the American legal system isn't 100% for your ultimate good. True or false?
True.
Why?
We're like way deep in here.
Way deep in where?
Way deep in.
You and I trapped.
We're like
someplace.
way philosophically deep here. I would not say it should be not first and foremost for your good, but for justice.
Okay.
That's what I would say is most important, but let's be serious. There's all types of other interactions with the legal system.
Right. All right. So how do we discern between good and evil? Hebrews 5:14. Read that. Get your Bible. Go, 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 go.
Whoa, Bible drills. You would have loved a conversation I had today with a guy. Like, you would have literally lost your mind. What am I reading?
5:14, I think.
I was in Hebrews the whole time. Mm-hmm. You would have just had the most fun. All right. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their power of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil.
Color that in. Give me some Lawson Harlow commentary on the spot.
I think that there is a biblical ethic. Okay. That you are trained in as you grow in maturity as a Christian, which means that there are going to be some things that you look at, and though there are not specific and explicit verses dealing with a various issue, you can still discern whether it's good or evil, but it comes from being trained by the scriptures, the renewing of the mind, essentially, that Romans 12 sets out.
Yeah. Hard, yeah. I want to add one thing.
Yeah.
Just because we came out of, or we're still in Romans 8, and walk by the Spirit.
Yeah.
And we just got done using the example of vaping to say, like, it bore fruit.
Yeah, bad fruit.
Bad fruit.
Bad fruit.
And it's like, he goes on and says, here's the things that you know are of the flesh.
Yeah.
These are the fruits of the flesh.
Yeah.
And so as Christians, we can still choose things of the flesh.
Yeah.
Like that's still,
yeah,
that's still a reality.
You actually, for the first time, are able to freely choose things of the flesh. You've been bound to them previously. You have no choice.
Right. Yeah. And so now I was thinking through when he goes into Galatians, so moving our minds to Galatians, was it 5?
Yeah.
And he goes through, like, these are fruits of obedience.
Fruits of the flesh and fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to read the ones that are fruits of the Spirit?
Sure. The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. I needed to say that for Blake.
Holy moly.
It's just for Blake. He needs that.
I don't even know what that is.
That's his thing. He loves that. And so I was just trying to help him. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires.
You know what I love about that?
It's not a coconut?
No.
What?
Against such things, there is no law.
Yeah.
So, like, you're... You're free into love.
Yeah, do what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, knock yourself out.
This is my comment. Love Jesus. I mean, it's an old comment. It's
love
stolen.
Jesus, do what you want.
Love Jesus and do what you want.
Yeah, right.
but don't miss the first part of that.
Right.
Like, love Jesus. Start there. Do what you want from that love. If you're loving Jesus, you're not going to wade off into sin as you're doing what you want, because what you want is to delight the one whom you love.
Right.
Okay.
So sometimes as the moral law is revealed, right? Like, I don't believe it is sufficient or has an answer for everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, you and I kind of were in this past week about, like, you were like, I just don't see in this particular situation chapter and verse.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, I think you can look at the fruit that it bore. You know, like, everything that happened after that moment. And then we can walk ourselves back to and say, like, yeah, if we could go back again,
yeah,
I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of my whole thing with marijuana is, like, from personal experience.
Yeah.
I know the fruit that it bore.
Yeah.
And I would say it was rotten fruit. Like, it wasn't born out of a love for God.
Yeah, but I would say that it's objectively, like, there is no subjective.
So you know the verse I got?
By all means, tell me.
So this is what I told Bailey before he left the house. And I said, hey, man, I got case closed. You know, because on this podcast. Oh, here,
good news, we're closing another one.
We close all sorts of cases. Yeah, yeah. It is.
Start calling us Sherlock.
1 Peter 5:8. Read that one.
Read that one. I really wanted you to say, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
don't steal my closing idioms.
I feel good about that one, though.
Yeah, that
one
is good.
What am I looking at? 5:8?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is my argument.
This is mine, too. Isn't that interesting?
It's literally
the
simplest
argument. We have not
talked
about this. You said literally.
That's my first time, though, I think.
Okay.
Be sober-minded.
Boom, that's it.
You don't even need anything else.
So I told Bailey, I said, all right, so the person who said that, I can smoke a blunt to
this
the glory of God.
Okay, hold on.
All right?
All right.
So here's where I'm at. Did he say take a puff? Or did he say smoke a blunt?
It doesn't matter.
So I want to make an obvious distinguishment, because to distinguish between the two, the heart of the motive is, if you smoke a whole blunt, you know what I'm going to tell you you're going to be? High.
Yeah.
Super duper high. Not sober minded. Which is in total contradiction to what Paul lays out to be in the spirit.
Yeah.
Is to be sober minded.
Yeah, but this goes back to Ephesians 4 as well.
Okay.
Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit.
Right.
And the argument, the distinction is actually you have an option.
But the matter, so here's where I'm at.
Here's where I'm at.
The scientific metabolic rate of how your body metabolizes the drug THC.
Yeah.
I believe you're high from the minute of partaking.
Yeah.
And culture says,
I told Bailey, I said, Bailey, let me just say this. All right.
You get some dudes together. You're like, hey, bro, we're going to smoke a blunt to the glory of God.
How weird
would it be to be like, all right, everybody take one puff and put it out? Nobody does that, Lawson, is what I'm saying. He started laughing. He's like, yeah, like culturally, if that's what you're doing,
yeah,
you burn. So this is slang.
Yeah.
You burn one down.
Yeah.
And everybody gets high. Like, it's the whole, like, I can't function in any other world than honestly looking at marijuana, recreational use, and saying it is to be the opposite of sober-mindedness.
It is. That's its purpose.
There's no, like, I don't know, bro. Is this where I'm at?
That's the whole purpose, though.
Yeah.
It's like the distinction between, so here's the argument that normally comes out. Well, people drank wine before the Lord and were merry. And I'm like, are you seriously equating these two?
Right. Right. Like, are you, Joseph and his brothers drank wine together in Egypt, and it says they were married together.
Yeah, like,
there's a totally difference of the metabolic rate of what your body does.
These are
not
the same thing.
Not the same thing.
And if you believe that they're the same thing, we're not even arguing we're not having a real conversation.
We're not.
We're not. You've made up a category that does not exist. and you just have. And it's in
I want to be like, we pity you.
Yeah, I mean, like, at a certain point, it's like, and then let's talk about doing something to the glory of God.
Okay.
All right.
Because the scripture says, whether we eat, drink,
whatever we do it to the glory of God.
We do it all to the glory of God.
So, like, the idea, let me smoke a joint to the glory of God. I literally can't believe I just used the sentence, smoke a joint.
Okay.
To the glory of God is the most counter factual statement that has perhaps ever been uttered. It's like, let me go let me go and sin, willingly go against God's moral standards for my life to his glory.
Mm.
Like those are not equal things. My first question is, can you be drunk to the glory of God?
Mm.
And the answer is a resounding no. He forbids drunkenness. And going back to that passage from Ephesians 4, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. I mean, I listened to a pastor one day give a full exposition of that, and his whole thing was about how him and his wife don't drink any alcohol. I'm sorry, that's not the point of that passage.
Right.
The point of that passage is to say that in taking any substance to alter your mind and to create in it a lack of ability. A lack of ability, because that's really what you're doing. You're impairing it. And if your intention is to impair yourself, whether to not feel a certain way or to feel a certain way, you're going against God's purpose for the human mind, which is to glorify him. And so, like, there's so much wrapped up in that.
You know, the opposite of this, he says, you know what to be filled with?
The Spirit.
The Spirit.
And but this is
like,
a satisfaction issue, too, to me.
Certainly.
It's like, What do you need to be satisfied?
Mm.
Like if you need something to alter your person to be satisfied,
mm.
like let that be the Spirit of God.
Mm.
There is no other spirit that's going to come, and just the other spirits are all destructive. It's like you want to be drunk with wine. You're intaking a destructive spirit. Mm. Then right. Mm. Same thing with any other drug. I mean, yeah, the question is always, I think, around, I may be jumping ahead of you, the question around marijuana is always like, oh, it's got benefits. And it's like, okay. Like, interestingly enough, from what I've read, all of those benefits can be administered without the drug itself.
Mm.
I mean, I've seen this
without combustion.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there are other ways. And I mean,
to ingest it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, I think that plays a role as well. But let's be serious. This is one of those cases, like, when people are talking about abortion and they bring in like the most obscure, saddest story ever to make an argument for it. It's like, stop it.
So we have to have a whole economy.
Yeah. It's like, deal with mine first and then I'll deal with yours.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the whole conversation. Yeah. We're dealing with 99.99%, yeah. if not 100% of what people use marijuana for.
Absolutely.
And that's to vacate the premises of their mind.
Absolutely. God is not glorified in that.
Okay. So here's the other.
Blanketly.
Yeah. Blanketly.
Yeah.
Not a puff.
Mm-mm.
Not a pass, not a burn one.
And
down.
If you're sitting around, sorry, if you happen to be listening to this podcast and you do this, please, like, just stop it. This is the dumbest thing of all time. Like,
this is what I said to my kids. I'm not going to lie to you. It's fun, and the Bible upholds that. It says the fleeting pleasures of sin.
Yeah.
But we're calling to be not sober-minded, sinful.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, the recreational use of marijuana is intoxicating
to
the point of you're not sober-minded. And so, therefore, you know what's mastering you now?
Yeah.
It.
Yep. One of the things that frustrated me when I was growing up is I often heard like youth speakers talk about how sin wasn't fun.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I hate that so much. It's the dumbest thing.
Like, you know what cake tastes like? Cake. But you know what it's going to leave? You eat a whole cake, you know what it's going to do?
You're going to vomit.
Yeah.
It's going to be ugly vomit, too.
So, hey, sin.
Yeah. It's like, call it what it is, tell people what it is, and then tell them that the superior pleasure is to do the good things that God's laid out for you under his prescription and delight in them.
Yep. Free of shame.
Yeah. The issue is, you can't do... Marijuana doesn't fit into that category. Right.
It doesn't matter how many times you say, I can do it. The issue is it's in direct contradiction and you should not.
Yep.
All right. So this is the other argument.
Okay.
I've given everything for purpose, says the Lord. Is the purpose of marijuana? That's kind of the argument. I'm not quoting scripture, but it's like, it seems like in his creation, it's his creation.
Yeah. In his providence, it exists.
Right.
Yeah.
And so is the purpose of marijuana to be high? Like, I don't believe that that's...
It's only intended purpose.
Right. I don't believe that like you can say like, oh, well, I can, it's a natural plant and its purpose is it's here and it's for me to use it.
Yeah. Snakes are also natural.
Right. To ingest it to become high. Like, I think that's a faulty argument. So here's what I was thinking. I want your take on this. So what's the Lord's purpose of marijuana? Here's my thoughts.
Okay. Shoot.
Maybe it's just a sign of the fall. A weed kind of goes with thorns and thistles. And you know what they are? there to be burned. In the end,
you need, but you thought about like,
yeah, I know.
Okay.
I'm glad you got my here.
Okay. Yeah.
Like burned in judgment.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, like everything passes through fire. I just thought this was so great.
Yeah.
And funny at the same time.
Yeah. But
Charles has his hand in his head.
Yeah, but I think his head and his hands right now. Because though they are, the thorns and thistles are a thing, right?
Yeah.
I think that's clearly a part of the curse.
Are they used for? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, but I think about, so I made the joke about, well, snakes exist too.
Right.
Well, I mean, snakes, venom has been used for many purpose.
Yeah.
And so it's like.
And in a pinch, you know what you can eat?
What?
You can eat a snake.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I mean, it came down in the.
Yeah.
What's that called? Blanket?
Oh, yeah.
In the vision?
Was a snake in the blanket?
I'm sure it was. He said, I had not eaten anything unclean, Lord. And he's like, rise, kill, and eat, Peter. All of it.
Yeah. All right. So, I don't know how to do that. But but I'm thinking like, I think that there are medicinal qualities.
Okay.
I think that's actually pretty clearly evidenced. But the medicinal qualities that are made up of, that are present in that, you know, I don't think have to be done in a intoxicating way. They have successfully extracted the medicinal purposes for that.
Right.
And so I think that.
So you know what my next argument was?
Let me hear it.
If it's not a thorn and a thistle, then we would have to relegate its use to medical, period.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, me neither.
Bro, I still think,
yeah, right, within a capitalist economy.
Yeah.
That whatever entity is functioning to produce the medicinal use of marijuana.
Yeah.
Still has to be approached and understand that that's amoral. It wants to make money. It's a business. That's its sole purpose.
Yeah.
The people that are in there can function it towards moral or immoral uses.
Yeah.
Because I think anything, even like pain medication, has been proven out that there are certain doctors that abuse it. There's people that abuse it. I mean, you can even have a society that abuses.
Bro, the opioid crisis.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Medical things. And so like, you know, to me, it's like it operates here where you're looking at this and you can't just say at that point, because I think even then, there's certain doctors that could prescribe it. I mean, there's places in the country now that prescribe it for, you know, headaches or knee pain. And so it's like, so I think like even then the Christian has to function within understanding, just because there's medicinal purpose and just because there's FDA approval and it's legal, that not all applications would be for their benefit or to God's glory.
Like, so for instance, when I had my gallbladder taken out, they gave me 60 pills of oxycodone. And I'm like, huh? I think I took two. And that was, one of them was because Beth made me, because I'm like, I'm so like, I don't put medicine in my body. And it was like the second I was still hurting, I'm like, I'm not taking another pill. And Beth's like, no, you are, you literally cannot stand up. And it's like, okay, I guess I'll take another one. And then I flushed the rest. It's like, we are really quick to prescribe things to relieve pain when pain is just a part of our existence.
Right.
And it's like, there are other medicines that exist that will not cause that type of reaction.
Mm.
But you know, what's interesting about this is my two perspectives that I take into consideration are normal. I only take the extremes. So you got John MacArthur, who's over here and says never. There's literally never, never a time. Never.
Mm.
And he's like top to bottom, like intaking it. Like what's the chemical in there?
THC.
THC that I really do think from what I've read has been extracted and can be used without the
all the tars and stuff from the burning it from combustion.
Yeah. But then I've got Jeff Durbin over here, who's worked at a rehab clinic for, you know, forever. That's how his church was planted. And he would argue that there certainly are times where it's to be used.
What?
Yeah.
Clarify that again. Sorry.
Yeah, he would, so
my
like
mind
he,
went someplace.
So medicinal purposes, he would say like, it probably is to be recommended more so. It's not to be used recreationally. He affirmed that.
Right.
But he was saying, like, I think we need to be careful of saying never.
Oh, yeah. Like, carte blanche just to pass it off saying it's unhelpful.
Certainly.
And that's what I was working through. Like, if it's just a weed, it's just thorns and thistles. Like, is it relegated to that camp that it's just a sign of the call?
No,
right?
Purpose,
there's no purpose other than judgment.
Yeah.
It's a sign of judgment.
Yeah.
sign of the fall. And if it's not, if it's something within, you know, to be used, yeah. I think it still has to operate within, like, you know, like, not everything that it could get prescribed for,
yeah, certainly,
would be, to me and my conscience, personally justifiable.
Yeah.
Because if it gets, I mean, I think it passed medically in Mississippi, right? Didn't that pass?
I believe so, yeah.
And now it's all being argued.
We talked about that on the podcast
then. Yeah, it's being argued out, yeah, and how it's all going to get set up. But I think, you know, then, like, you're going to have people abuse the system.
Of course. You have people abusing the system now. Like,
right,
you know, it's always going to be happening.
Right. All right.
Can we summarize this whole episode really quickly?
Yeah. I wanted to work through the summary being, like, all things are lawful that are lawful.
Yeah.
And really camp out on, there seems to be that moral written code that we can look to.
Yeah.
And yet, like, it seems to me that, like, when we look to that, we learn at the very basics
to discern what's good and evil.
To discern what's good and evil. But yet now we don't serve in the old way.
Yeah.
Because we now have the Spirit. We serve in the new way. Which serving in the new way is obedience unto the love of God,
yeah,
and to love of neighbor, which, yeah, is the sum of the total law.
Yeah.
So as you had it all in the commandments, you get the sum of it is the sum of the law is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I think, you know, through that new, through the obedience of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, yeah, we uphold the law.
Yeah.
And so it would never, our action, in my opinion, would never be in contradiction to the revealed will,
mm-mm,
like the revealed law,
yeah,
and its will, like it's plain black and white.
Yeah.
But I think there's some things in the Christian life that although you may have nothing written here.
Yeah, there are principles already laid out.
There's principles here, yeah, and it like bare minimum to walk in the Spirit is going to produce the fruit.
Yeah.
And we know that this fruit, right, is going to look a certain way. It's going to be born of love.
Yep.
And it's going to honor God, bring him glory, and love neighbor as yourself,
yeah,
which is holding up the law, the sum of the law, even if there's not a singular commandment which informs your ethic.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely right. The idea
I've been working through that whole phrase mentally,
okay,
for like, yeah, a couple of weeks.
Oh, gotcha.
So I got it all out
good
coherently.
Good
to
deal.
Hear you affirm that really encouraged me because the audience didn't see. I just fist pumped.
Yeah.
Because I'm charismatic.
Oh, I had such an interesting charismatic thought today. Not about my own.
Yeah.
I don't do that. The major thing that I think needs to be conveyed is that as you mature in the faith, mm-hmm, I think this is a level of maturity, by the way. I think as I was growing up in the faith, it's either is it there or is it not,
mm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you look at it and you say, like, so the confession, 1689 confession says, not all things are alike plain,
mm,
right? And so, mm-hmm, it's like there are some things that are plain. Mm-hmm. Lying is lying.
Right.
Right. I would actually say, like, that concept of sober-mindedness, principles about a prince always being ready to essentially fulfill his role. The warning is to stay away from, mm, strong drink, mm, there. Like all of those major things, what they're essentially saying is if you are impeding your ability to minister in the world,
mm,
then you are not in an appropriate mindset.
Mm.
You are sinning against God,
mm,
because if you think about that whole concept, I will be mastered by nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There's an assumption inside of that I am mastered by one,
mm,
and me being mastered by one says I must always be ready to be used for his glory.
Mm.
And if I assault my faculties,
mm,
then I am the furthest thing from that.
Mm. All right.
All right.
What's our Bible verse?
You can't smoke marijuana to the glory of God.
We need a Bible verse. So in conclusion, I have a Bible verse.
Hold on, I got it.
All right.
1 Peter 5:6 and following. I'll stop when I want to. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour.
So I'd like to thank my fellow elder, Lawson Harlow, for the time spent today. So audience and whoever said you can smoke a blunt to the glory of God, put this in your pipe and smoke it. My brother and my friend, Godspeed. a lot of bouncing. It's like a skipping a rock. We're going from one side to the other, and it's all correlated. Normally, I take like three things and correlate them. I've got like, I might have five.
Oh, man.
There's a lot of threads here. Red threads and cigarettes.